the smartest marketers from all walks of life, in every industry, talking about the latest trends, opportunities, and challenges. Insights from marketing executives at organizations like National Geographic, IBM, and the Baltimore Ravens. And tips from business authors and experts known around the world. Ways to improve your community's marketing, starting now, right here on the Marketing Smarts Podcast.
Well, Marketing Smarts listeners, it's one thing to develop a content and social media strategy. It's another thing to develop a content and social media strategy to foster thought leadership and business growth for you, the B2B marketers and B2B companies. What does that even mean, foster thought leadership and business growth? Well, good news, that's exactly what I'm talking today about with none other than Ashley Foss. So, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to talk about what keeps her up at night when it comes to content and social media strategies, how to get started, hurdles you might face, and of course, words of wisdom. But before we get into the good stuff, let's hear a word from our sponsor. Tactical sessions, inspirational keynotes, off-the-clock antics, and let's not forget about immeasurable connections. What am I talking about? The B2B Forum, of course. For more than 15 years, the B2B Forum has been the conference where today's leading B2B marketers gather for insights, networking, and laughs. Well, ladies and gentlemen, it's never too early to plan for success. Join us in 2023 in October for inspiration from B2B marketing experts, and I mean those marketers who walk the walk and know how to talk the talk in a way that you can understand. Get access to real-world actionable insights on the tactics and tools that work today and strategies that stand the test of time. When you say, well, on October 4th, you can join us for the B2B Forum full-day workshop for all access attendees. And on the 5th and 6th, well, spectacular conference shenanigans. That's right. If you head over to the B2B Forum website right now, you can sign up to join us October 4th through the 6th for some amazing education. And guess what? I'll see you next year at the B2B Forum. That's right. I'll be there. Will you? And now that you've heard from our sponsor, it is time, ladies and gentlemen, that's right, developing a content and social media strategy to foster thought leadership and business growth for you, the B2B marketer and B2B company. Let's get into the good stuff. Oh, Marketing Smarts listeners, I hope you know that you're in for a treat today because, well, I have a very amazing, fantastic, add any other adjective that you want in here with a guest, Ashley Foss. How are you doing today, Ashley?
I'm good, George. You know, I was laughing because I was like, I think George is one of the few people that actually matches my very high energy. So I always get excited when I get to talk to you.
Yeah, you know, we can't have any boring podcast episodes. It just can't happen. And we've got to add value. We've got to be significant to those who are taking time to press the play button. And so speaking of that, let's just go ahead and get right to the question that I love to start every Marketing Smarts podcast episode with. And that is, around this conversation that we're having, which, by the way, they clicked on the title. They know, Ashley, that we're talking about developing a content and social media strategy to foster thought leadership and business growth. Around that topic, what the heck keeps you up at night?
So many things. I think the biggest thing that keeps me up at night is this insistence that we have to keep doing more, 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 more. And I don't actually agree with that. I don't actually agree that more is better. But that comes up all the time, both internally, externally, everybody that I'm talking to, this sense that we have to produce more content faster across more channels, more, more, more. But nowhere in there are they talking about more impact for the audience.
Okay, so I immediately want to go off the beaten path then, because if that's
not a shocker here, you know?
Yeah. I mean, because here's the thing. If that's the thing that keeps you up at night, what's the alternative, the mirror version, if you will, to, no, you don't need more. You just need to think of your content in, fill in the sentence.
A playground.
And continue to explain
means. Good. I can keep going. I didn't know. I wasn't sure if I was supposed to keep going off the beaten path or if you were coming back on there. All right. So let's think about a playground.
Here's the thing. Let me just say this. I think many marketers are stuck in what keeps you up at night. I got it. Right. More, more, more. It's the hamster wheel, right?
Right?
And so the fact that you're calling it a playground, I think I know where you're going. It's I can go to the swings and I can go to, you know, the slide and then I can go over here. And so I love that it's playground, but explain how they get off the hamster wheel of more with this mindset of playground.
So to your point with a playground, you can play on the playground in any order. You can go up, down, sideways, etc. The funny thing is that most playgrounds are actually really small. There's like a pretty standard set of equipment in a playground. Usually it includes swings. Usually it includes a slide. Usually there's some sort of climbing mechanism. And then there's usually some sort of reasonably safe, like dirt, sand, rubber pellets, something. That's kind of the core of a playground. And yet, children are entertained for hours by the same playground day after day. How does that happen? The reason that it happens that way is, well, there's a couple of reasons. First, they can go in any order. And so one day they go and they just hang out on the slide all day. One day they go and they just hang out on the swings. One day they go and they play on both the swings and the slide. The next day they come back and they go swings and then slide. So if we as marketers think about how do we create the depth of journey and the intelligence of a journey that allows our audience to chart their own journey in whatever way they want and to spend as much time in each place as they want, that's the first reason that that playground mindset helps you get off this hamster wheel. The second reason is that children have really active imaginations. And so they don't use every part of the playground in exactly the way it was intended. And I think that's a problem that as adults, especially as B2B marketers, we have this objective. I'm going to force you down this funnel and I'm going to get you to buy my thing. But your audience doesn't have that same objective. Your audience wants to learn. Your audience wants to be inspired. Your audience wants to use something that they've already bought. Your audience wants to make a recommendation to somebody else to buy something. They have so many other things that they want to do. And so if we think about that, our audience has an active imagination. Okay, great. Again, how do we design this intentional journey that allows them to use that imagination without forcing them to say, you're only allowed to go down the slide once per day? Well, no child's gonna play on the playground if you do that to them, right? So I'll pause there because that's a lot of stuff for us to keep going down the unworn path.
Yeah, no, I love it. That was a great unbeaten path or whatever path it is. It was a great little jaunt off to the side because during that section, you said a couple things that I wanted to pull out. I was feverishly typing notes. One, you said entertained, right? The kids are entertained in the playground, which leads me to, as a B2B marketer, if you are developing content or the historical content that you've created, does it stand up to the litmus test of it's somewhat entertaining as well as educational, or is it like, blah, 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 you know, Charlie Brown's teacher. The other thing that you mentioned, and I love, is can they go? Can your readers, your viewers, your listeners choose to go deep into one conversation because they just want to play on the slide all day? I just need to know about SEO tactics, and I'm going to listen, read, and watch for the next 12 hours. Or does your content, and this one was for me, I'm like, oh my gosh, are you creating content that creates insights first instead of trying to get to that product or that service, because insights, by the way, will equal sales. I'm just going to throw that out there. So if you've historically been creating content and using it on social and not thinking of those things in those ways, that is definitely probably a couple gold nuggets that you can run with. Now, I fully know, Ashley, there are some B2B marketers that might not have developed a content and social media strategy that fosters leadership or business growth. And so we always make time for that in which is important in life. So why is developing, why is slowing down to speed up, why is developing a content and social media strategy for business growth important to B2B marketers in 2023 and beyond? And I mean beyond, well, it keeps the lights on.
The big thing, two big things. One, humans are lazy and platforms are greedy, right? Most people, they don't come to you for the heck of it and to like make you feel good. They come to you to get something for themselves. And so if you become that destination that they go to get something for themselves, then eventually there's going to be some sort of reciprocity. And so building that trust, building that affinity, that is the foundation. And so if you don't step back and know the value that you're giving to them, if you're just churning, You're only doing things for yourself, and your audience is too lazy for that. The second piece of this is that the platforms are greedy. The platforms don't want you to go anywhere else. LinkedIn wants you to stay on LinkedIn. Even your own website, you know, you want people to stay on your website. You don't want them to go off and go somewhere else, unless the going somewhere else is to talk to a sales rep. But again, you still want to keep them in your own little ecosystem, right? So when you start to realize, okay, I'm going to have to fight for attention, not only from the humans that are consuming my content, but also from the platforms that are hosting or serving my content, you start to realize you need to suit up for that. You don't go into a battle with just your shorts and t-shirt. You got to put on some armor. You got to bring your weapons. And that requires some training. It requires some skills, and it requires some thinking. And that's where you start thinking about that strategy. So first is focus on that audience. What do they want? What do they need? How can you serve them? And then second is, okay, how am I going to win against all of the other things on the platform that are going to basically keep their attention on the platform, not even on my content?
So good. I literally have an emoji of a bird next to my notes that humans are lazy and platforms are greedy. And it's funny because I personally have been battling this mental idea of to put all of my video content on my website or on YouTube, and I go back and forth or both, and then how and with Mitch Mix. And I know marketers are facing this across the board on all the platforms. Like, how much do you put on LinkedIn or Facebook, and what are the right things for those? And it's funny because now we're starting to talk about quickly there's a need for a strategy, right? When we say the word developing, by the way, it's what's the strategy that you're going to leverage for your content when you put it out on social media, that the outcome, the byproduct, is thought leadership and growing your business through that. So here's the next question we have to answer. And it's not an easy one, I don't think. But when we think about the listeners, the Marketing Smarts listeners, B2B marketing, how the heck, and I alluded to slow down to speed up, but how the heck do we start to actually build out or develop this strategy with the outcome of thought leadership and business growth in mind?
That is a hard question, particularly for thought leadership, because so many people go to the goals, and usually those goals are around revenue. And I think that in many cases for thought leadership, you're gonna have to abstract it a little bit away from revenue. My sense is that thought leadership is not meant to drive short-term sales. That's sales, and that's marketing, and that's product marketing, and that is buy intent content. That is not what thought leadership is meant to do. Thought leadership is meant to attract the right people to the brand and the company. And that could be talent, that could be strategic partners, that could be for co-marketing opportunities, that could be for investor relations or to improve, you know, analyst relations. There are a variety of things that you need to build from a trust perspective. And so when you look at your thought leadership, you need to be cognizant of which of those audiences are going to result in the short-term and long-term outcomes. Yes, ultimately, being a thought leader in your industry, being trusted, having that affinity across a variety of different audiences, that will ultimately lead to long-term business growth. But that is very different than short-term revenue. And I think that that mindset shift is the big piece, because everybody keeps, I hear this all the time, oh, we're gonna do thought leadership for a founder. Oh, are you? Well, what are they going to talk about? Well, they're going to talk about why our product is the best. And I'm like, oh, so they're going to do sales enablement. No, I mean, it's a founder, therefore it's thought leadership. And I'm like, okay, let's go back here. Thought leadership is about trust and affinity. And you can drive those and measure those in different ways, depending on the audience, the platforms, the person. But if the ultimate outcome that you are measuring in the short term is some sort of revenue or sale, you're not doing thought leadership. That's a different kind of content. It should also be quality. It's also in your strategy, but it is not thought leadership.
Are you looking for great curated content specific to you, the B2B marketer? Want to have fun while also learning valuable information to help you succeed on a daily basis? Then you're in luck. Look no further. This week's Marketing Smarts podcast is brought to you by the Marketing Smarts Live Show. That's right. You can join us live every Monday where we shine the spotlight on you, the community members, share fresh B2B news, several top-notch curated articles to help you be a better marketer, and of course, have tons of fun along the way. If you want even more B2B marketing education with the ability to ask questions and engage with the rest of the audience, tune in every Monday at 10 a.m. Eastern for the Marketing Smarts Live Show. You won't regret the additional B2B learning you'll be adding to your life. Now, let's get back to this episode of the Marketing Smarts Podcast. It's so interesting. My mind goes in like crazy different directions when I get to do these interviews. And it's funny when you're talking about, well, we're going to get them to do thought leadership. I literally thought of a marionette and how the person who is supposed to be the leader is now the puppet. Yes. And here's the thing, until your puppet can become Pinocchio and become a real boy and have his own thoughts or her own thoughts, then thought leadership should not be a thing that is actually on the plane of what you're trying to do. Like maybe just hit stop. Quit listening. No, I'm just kidding. Keep listening because we're actually going to dive a little bit deeper. But it's funny too, the second piece of where my brain went on that, Ashley, was marketing, right? There's vanity metrics, there's revenue metrics. And dare I say with thought leadership, it's more about gut and it's almost about there are no metrics. Now, things will come out in the wash. And I'll give you an example. The end of 2022, I did a post on New Year's revolutions versus New Year's resolutions. It was a thought leader piece that was put out there just to tell the world how I felt about goals, habits, and tasks. It was not meant to generate any revenue at all. Wrote the article, sent it out in an email. Within 45 minutes, got a reply, and somebody signed a $12,000 contract. There's the metrics on thought leadership. All right, let's keep diving in. Here's the thing. Is developing a content and social media strategy for business growth only for B2B marketers, or can other folks leverage these strategies as well? Listen, we know our audience. We know who's listening, but we also know whose cubicle you might be sitting next to. Like, who should this be going out to? C-suite, sales, the janitor? Like, talk us through that, Ashley.
I know I'm gonna keep going back to it, but I'm gonna go back to who is the audience and who do you need to build that credibility with. So as marketers, unfortunately, even though, you know, we're very smart and capable and good at communication and pretty much the best people in the whole world, unfortunately, there are some people in other crafts and disciplines who don't really trust us. They think we're just trying to sell them something. And so I would say that depending on who that audience is and how much they trust brands or how much they trust something coming out from a marketer or sales rep, which in most cases is quite low, you're probably going to need to leverage these principles with somebody like them. So Edelman Trust Barometer, this has been a longitudinal study that's come out over the last decade or so. Every year, overall trust has been declining for a decade, particularly in formal institutions and formal markers of authority. So CEOs, religious leaders, government, for example, even the news, the press, right? People trust people like themselves. They trust their peers and they trust people they have a personal experience with. So one distinction from 2022 in the report was I trust my CEO versus I trust a CEO. So that personal connection. And so when we talk about should this be a marketing initiative? I think it's Steve Watt that says that, your brand reputation and your marketing is too important and too impactful to just be left to marketers. And so when you want to go talk to engineers, you need to have practitioners, leaders, and executives to speak to each of those levels within your market and to speak to them with credibility and expertise. And that's where you start to get that subject matter expertise. I actually saw something the other day, this fellow Jeff Winter, he is in the manufacturing industry. He's built a massive following and he talks a lot about digital transformation. And he has that credibility because he's literally in that industry with those peers talking about that subject matter expertise. And so I would say that this does need to be a shared vision across the organization, and then the pillars within that strategy have different tactics and execution based on the skills and the craft and the audience, kind of matching all of those things up, playing that matchmaker, right? Like, you know, if you've got people who are really into slides, cool. here's the slide, people, let's talk about building slides and how best to, you know, should you put water on the slide or should you put Vaseline on the slide to make sure you go faster, right? Like, that's something you can talk about if we stick with that playground mindset that, yes, the marketing team may be the architects of the playground, but you would bring in specific craftspeople for each piece of equipment to really make sure that it's, you know, sturdy and behaves in the way that it is expected to behave.
Yeah, so good. I love that response. And there's, again, it's probably a second rewind spot in the podcast. And it's funny, a thought just came kind of like slamming into my forehead like a Mack truck when you were talking to that point. And it's, you know, back to the whole marionette and Pinocchio, you know, kind of funny scenario that I threw out there. Ladies and gentlemen, you can't be a thought leader until they trust you and your ability to lead. So if you haven't put that in place beforehand. And again, we're talking, I love the fact that you brought up pillars. I love the fact that you, you know, that whole system. Like, until you have things going on like that, anyway, let's move forward. Let's keep going, because I think this is important for everybody. I think there's something that they can do. However, it is, I think, going to be a little bit of a bumpy journey. I think there's going to be some potholes in the way. I think there's going to be what I lovingly like to call marketing hurdles. And so that we can help the marketing smarts folks either jump the hurdle or maybe swerve around the pothole, whichever analogy you want to use. Ashley, what are some of the biggest hurdles you've seen B2B marketers have to overcome or have faced when developing what we're talking about, this whole content strategy plan of attack that is focused, again, in social corners, ending up with business growth through thought leadership?
I think the biggest thing is we are still stuck in a lot of the attribution mindset from 10 years ago. So before social media really became a place that individuals could own and that businesses could partner with individuals to improve and share and grow that audience, everything came back to, you know, and again, this, it was brilliant when it came out, when inbound, the methodology of fill out the form, be able to track it, nurture it, that sense that you wanted to bring people in, educate them, nurture them, and then sell to them. After you had built that, that was super smart, you know, a decade ago. HubSpot has, you know, continued to evolve their own model, but a lot of marketers are still trying to implement that same measurement strategy and therefore the approach in their creation and their tactics from 10 years ago. And it's hard, right? Like your comment about you sent out that newsletter and you got a $12,000 PO or, you know, engagement. You can see that one click is worth $12,000, right? But I don't actually know what the click-through rate overall on the email was. And so if you were to send me that dashboard, it would not surprise me if it potentially had a lower click-through rate just because it was the holidays, right? A lower open rate and potentially a lower click-to-open rate. And so me, as an outsider, without that context, I might look at that and say, George, clearly this content didn't resonate, or clearly this was not your best email. But for you, you're like, no, literally, one-to-one, literally it generated this much revenue, right? It's the same thing on social media. So I actually had somebody very kindly comment, you know, I think I should make a folder on my desktop for all the things that, all the posts that you've made that I think are valuable. And I was like, I jokingly said, I mean, if you could make that public, that would be amazing, right? It helps me so I don't have to do it. An hour later, he sends me a link to a Google Drive of all of this content that I've created that he has saved. I don't know how that gets, how do you measure that somebody has taken the time to screenshot or download or, you know, link or whatever, and put all of the content that I created into a folder so that it's easily accessible for themselves? Like, where does that show up in the dashboard?
Yeah, it doesn't. That's the problem. I feel like attribution reporting and attribution mindset could be an entire podcast episode on itself, because it is amazing to me how SaaS software and the birth of inbound marketing and the softwares that came along with it are really great at organic email, referrals, social. But man, I love attribution and I hate attribution at the same time, because while my SaaS software tells me it's organic, it's actually because like Jimmy told Jenny and Jenny then searched for George. And like, so it really was word of mouth.
Yep.
Or it was a podcast.
Yep.
But Oh, man. Whole nother episode. Okay. What does content and social media strategy for thought leader success look like? They've got the gold medal. They're on the number one podium. Like, how do you know if you can arrive? How do you know you've like arrived?
There's a couple things on this. I think first, getting back to, okay, you do need to measure it somehow, right? Like you gotta be able to see that amazing $12,000 engagement and that amazing folder of stuff that's been created. So I think the first thing is being intentional about the people that you partner with for thought leadership within your organization, or if you're partnering with somebody externally. I tend to think that particularly in larger organizations, they do need to have at least one, if not multiple, depending on how many audiences they're serving, thought leaders. And so in those cases, you can start to look at the direct messages that they receive. You can start looking at the quality and quantity of inbound requests that they receive for speaking engagements, podcasts, contributions, etc. And then you can start to look at, okay, what kinds of conversations ultimately come out of them going to a conference or them publishing an article, or what are the comments that are happening in the threads on LinkedIn or the Twitter threads, right? What are the quantity, quality, and nature of the replies there? And you can start to see those relationships developing. So yes, it is a more manual task to measure it, but I think that's the first thing, is being able to see the quantity and the quality of the engagement going up for these curated thought leaders. I think the second thing in terms of how this shows up for the brand and the business is how many people cite that topic or that person once they get into an engagement. And so we hear this all the time generically. Oh my gosh, Atlassian is on my target list of companies to work. Well, why? Why do you think that? I don't know. Everybody that I see talks about how great the culture is and how strong the values are. All right, mark that down. Everybody talks about this. Everything I see from everybody. Well, who is everybody? Well, you don't know. That is an element of, obviously there's some brand and reputation sentiment analysis you can do, but then there's also the people side of it. So I think that's a way that you can start to attribute it. When somebody gets into a deal, when they do finally raise their hand and say, hey, I want to buy, when the sales rep gets in and starts talking to them, are they referencing, you know, I saw this person at a, you know, I first heard about you guys at some conference. I don't even know. It was maybe somebody was speaking, or I don't even remember, you know, but those types of comments and triggers start to get at that mind share in the market that you can measure outside of, obviously, you know, impression, likes, comments, direct messages, etc.
I love this so much. And it's funny because it almost ties a little bit into our attribution conversation that we had just a second ago, that little diatribe. And it's funny because I had to paint a picture in my head. Like, I'd love to see what the company HubSpot has for my original source for me as a human, because it might be, if they're lucky, the world's largest webinar back in 2012 that the HubSpot Academy put on. But that's not the true attribution. The true attribution is that a social media guy came running into our office and said, hey, you got to check out this webinar. So if they don't have attributed to John, the social media guy of the agency, then it's wrong. Right. So I love that that's a success. It's like this different verticals, vectors, if you will, that you can look at it. Ashley, this has been absolutely amazing. The final question I'd love to ask on the Marketing Smarts podcast to kind of just give you the opportunity to put it, what it is that you want to put into the world around this topic or anything that you just want to give. We've all been through a journey. We've all learned things along the way. So what are some final words of wisdom that you want to leave the Marketing Smarts audience before we send them back to their regularly scheduled day?
I think the crux of this whole conversation, and for my practice of marketing, is to fall in love with the humans. And that is the humans that are consuming the content, the humans that are using your offerings, and the humans that are enabling the humans behind the screen. For me, if you can fall in love with the audience and fall in love with the humans behind the screen, that's where you really start to get the magic. Yes, there's numbers. Yes, there's revenue, all the things, right? But if you can fall in love with the humans, you're going to continue to see those other outcomes for years to come.
So, Marketing Smarts listeners, did you take lots of notes? I have to ask, what is your hashtag one thing, your number one execution opportunity after this podcast? Make sure you reach out and let us know in my inbox or on Twitter using the hashtag MP B2B. Also, I have to ask, are you a free member of the Marketing Profs community yet? If not, head over to mprofs.com/MP today. You won't regret the additional B2B marketing education you'll be adding to your life. Hey, listeners, we'd like it if you could leave us a rating or review on your favorite podcast app, but we'd love it if you'd share this episode with a coworker or friend. Until we meet in the next episode of the Marketing Smarts podcast, where we talk with Mike Alton about B2B marketers and influencer marketing, the good, the bad, and oh my gosh, the ugly. I hope you do just a couple of things. One, reach out and let us know what conversation you'd like to listen in on next. Two, focus on getting 1% better at your craft each and every day. And finally, remember to be a happy, helpful, humble B2B marketing human. And we'll see you in the next episode of the Marketing Smarts Podcast.